How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, open our eyes this morning to what you want us to know and hear and understand, and help us to be humble recipients of conviction or comfort or encouragement this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Y'all may have a seat. So, as you heard from this psalm, we're hearing a song of lament, a song of sorrow that begins with sorrow, but it ends with a song of triumph to the Lord. And we see the psalmist working out his anger, his frustration, his sadness with the Lord, and concludes with singing to the Lord anyway. Whether his song was changed, whether it was in a major key now, whether it was upbeat in the tempo, we don't know that. But we do know that we start with the depths of his soul, and he journeys through that in relationship with God and ends in a place of praise and acknowledging who God is. But the way that the psalmist starts this psalm, how long, O Lord? How many of us have asked that question? Anybody? How long? Maybe it's not that you're waiting for something huge or disastrous. Maybe it is. But maybe you're asking, how long must I endure this chronic pain? Or how long must I deal with this itchy sin pattern? Or how must I forbear with this sinful person around me? Or how long must I live in this broken world, Lord? How long until you return? We're invited through the Lord's Prayer, we're invited through psalms like this to ask, Lord, how long, O Lord? That we might not just throw a complaint at the Lord, but share our feelings with him. We are encouraged to enter into this type of relationship with the Lord. And David, the author of this psalm, shows us that through this he has relationship with the Lord. And again, let me put before you the difference between lament and complaint. And I think we might be able to understand in our brains how that might be a little bit different. But again, I'll say that lament is sharing your emotions and your feelings and your longings with someone to walk alongside of you. Complaint is throwing something at somebody in anger or just frustration. But in relationship, we aren't seeking an exit. We're seeking somebody to walk alongside of us. Oftentimes, a close friend or a spouse or a family member, we ask these overarching big questions, and we don't even want a response. Have you ever experienced that? You don't even really want a response. You just want that person to know and understand that you're hurting, that you're lamenting. Now, we all agree, I shouldn't say that, that's too general. Might most of us agree here that as we share our lament to the Lord, that we have a God who is acquainted with grief and sorrow? Can anybody share, and this is open time, so feel free, okay? Can anybody share a verse or a time or a story where Jesus expressed lament? Just put your hands up. Can anybody share a verse or a passage where Jesus lamented? In the Garden of Gethsemane, yes. Any others? Jesus wept, again. It's a good one to memorize, kids. Any other instances where we see Jesus lamenting? Over Israel, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem in Matthew 23, he wept over Jerusalem. Say again? Over Lazarus. That's right. He had the power to heal, and he knew he would. But he was overcome with the grief of death and sin in the world that his friend had to die. Any others? These are all great. And Jesus was a man of sorrows. We even see him fulfilling prophecy in him being a man of sorrows from Isaiah 53. That he would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And so, friends, as we turn the corner in our lament, we can do that because, and we see the psalmist do that, because we know that Jesus understands. He cares. He's well acquainted with grief. He's well acquainted with sorrow. And I would encourage you, if you're dealing with something difficult in your life, if you have sorrows and laments, and you think, I can't share this with such and such a person in my tribe or a friend or a family member, they've never been through that. However, I would encourage you, they've been acquainted with sorrow and grief. We all have. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, that gives us the ability and equips us with the source of grace and love and mercy and truth that the Holy Spirit provides us. And so we'll see full circle that the emotional outcry of the psalmist is tempered by knowing that he has a relationship with the Lord and that he is heard and that the Lord understands what he's going through. When we turn the corner from lament to then acknowledging God's sovereign leading in our lives, in verse 5, when he says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation." He's founding himself on truth. And we started out by saying, whatever we're going through today, whatever the world looks like, whatever your home looks like, whatever your heart looks like this morning, we can stand secure in truth. And that's why it's such a joy to sing the great hymns of the faith. And why it's such a joy to read the scriptures together. Because we all have something in common that brings us together. The truth of Jesus Christ is what goes beyond our worldly understanding of what hope and peace means. It's something he gives us and puts in us. And so if we get caught up in our emotions and our frustrations, and we're not comforted by truth, we're just going to perpetuate a complaining spirit. I know I've been there. I know you all have been there, so let me encourage you to express your feelings with the Lord, with a trusted friend or a brother or sister in the Lord, and then move on to truth. And if we're counseling someone, bring them back to truth, always. One of my favorite expositions on what it means to be founded in truth in worship is from Pastor Alistair Begg. Some of you have heard me talk about this little clip. It's about a 4-minute clip from a longer sermon. And if you just Google Alistair Begg, how do you feel? You'll see what I mean. It's great. I was going to play it this morning, but we're trying to go low tech. We try to have low tech mornings, you know. But essentially, I'm going to kind of paraphrase what he says about what it means to worship in truth. When we're at church, he begins by saying he was visiting another church of a friend of his out in California. And I don't think California has anything to do with it. No knock on California. I think that's where he was. But here's Alistair Begg. He says, "The man leading worship, his opening gambit was this: 'Hey, how do you all feel this morning?' Well, we could have had the benediction right there because that was so good. I thought, what kind of New Testament question is that? If I told you how I felt in the light of the last 5 minutes, you might have questioned whether I was a Christian at all. Don't ask me that question. Ask me what I know. Don't ask me how I feel about myself. Ask me what I know about God. Ask me what I know about His Word. Ask me what I know to be a verity that can deal with my soul. That's what I need. When you ask how I feel, I can't start there. At 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm barely ambulatory. And you want to ask me how I'm feeling? I just kicked the dog, and I don't even have a dog. I got in an argument with someone in the parking lot for a parking space. I spilled my coffee. I didn't read my Bible. I'm a miserable wretch. And now you want to start with, how do you feel? I feel rotten. That's how I feel. What have you got for me? I've got nothing. I've got nothing for you. That's why you have to get yourself under the control of the verities of the scriptures that then fuel our hearts and emotions and lead us on. End quote. What a beautiful reminder of being okay to a degree. We don't want to be locked in a sarcastic, self-deprecating mood all the time. But to express our feelings to the Lord in worship, to cry out, how long, O Lord? Why is this, O Lord? Can it be this, Lord? And then to trust the truth of His scriptures to move us forward. As the psalmist moves forward in verse 5, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. It doesn't say, because you have heard me, Lord, because you have fixed all of my problems, I will trust in your steadfast love. It says, no. Consider and answer me, Lord. Light up my eyes. Don't let my foes rejoice over me. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. He's dealt bountifully with all of us, church. So we're going to move ahead here and sing the next song. It's going to be 553, Nearer My God to Thee. Nearer My God to Thee. 553, and I want to point out just a couple lines that really help bridge Psalm 13 to this hymn. Nearer My God to Thee. Verse 1 says, nearer my God to Thee, nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me. Now remember, Jesus showed us the example of humility in going to the cross and in dying so that he would be raised again. And you and I, we encounter and go through times of sorrow and grief so that he can work his resurrection power through us. Amen? So the hymn writer says, even though it may be a cross, we can be sure that we will encounter the crucifix of this life in order that Jesus will raise us and be a God of resurrection. Verse 4 says, then with my waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. So by my woes, to be nearer, my God, to thee. Through our woes, through our sorrows, through our difficulties, we're brought nearer to the Lord. We're brought nearer to his love. We're brought nearer to his grace. So that's what it means to worship through our circumstances. We give them up to the Lord in obedience, that he will hold them, that he will know them, that because he has suffered and is without sin and advocates for us, he is our great high priest, who will draw us in and cleanse us. So our worship, friends, doesn't need to be clappy happy. necessarily, it can be. But let's be truthful and honest and give ourselves to the Lord who holds us and is the bedrock of our souls. Amen? All right, so as a response, let's sing this song, thanking the Lord for being near to us in all things, 553. Now I need to turn there.